day is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. Now, this is the only place in the Bible where we read of 10 lepers being cleansed. We find that Jesus is on his way down to Jerusalem, and he goes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The Lord Jesus Christ was going down to Jerusalem to be taken prisoner. He was to stand trial, and he was to be condemned and to be crucified, and that for the sins of his people. And as he was going down towards Jerusalem, he went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. Whether this village was in Samaria or whether it was in Galilee, the Bible does not state. But we find that the land of Canaan, in which the Jewish people lived, was bordered on the north by Galilee, on the south by Judea, on the east by the river Jordan, and on the west by the Mediterranean Sea. Now, where this village was, we know not. But he had to go through this village. We read, and he must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus must needs go through this village. In this village, there was 10 men that were afflicted with leprosy. For these 10 men, they were compelled by the law of Moses to live outside of this village. They were not permitted to mingle with each other. They were not permitted either to eat with each other. That is, with those that didn't have leprosy. They then were isolated in this respect from the rest of the inhabitants of this village. There were 10 of them. In all probabilities, they had companionship with each other. They were in the same state, in the same condition. They were afflicted with the same disease. And in this way, they were more or less companions to each other in their misery. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming through this village. These men, they must have heard of Christ through someone. Someone must have told them about this wonderful Jesus, this wonderful Savior, who was able to cure all manner of diseases, and who likewise had already cured many that had been afflicted with this dreadful disease, leprosy. And when they had heard these things of various ones that had told them, and we may believe that they became concerned about their own particular case. They were lepers. They had this dreadful disease. And now if others were cured by this precious Jesus, why not them? And when he came through this village, why, we find that they seen him. They were afar off. They had to stay afar off from him. But when they seen him, they lifted up their voices and they began to cry, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." You will notice in their cry that they didn't say, "Lord, heal us, Lord, cure us." They didn't do like one leper who came and fell down before him and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." No, they just lifted up their voices, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Jesus, wonderful name, a name above every name, a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of his Father. They acknowledged when they called him Jesus that he was the Lord of heaven and earth, that he was the only one that could cure their disease, that he was the Savior, the Messiah, the one that the Jewish people were looking for. "Jesus," they said. Oh, what a wonderful name, my hearers. This name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Let me ask you a question. Has this name any value to you? Does it mean anything to you? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds upon a believer's ear. When Jesus was upon earth, he taught his disciples to pray in his name. And if they asked anything in his name, it would be given unto them. Are these lepers crying, Jesus? Oh, my hearers, now this is the only name for you and I, likewise, whereby we can be saved. Oh, I hope it has a significant meaning to you. I hope that you likewise are doing like these lepers. They were crying unto him, Jesus, Master. This word, Master, signified that they acknowledged him as the supreme lawgiver, and such he was. He has given us his laws, and in through Moses, he has also given unto us the way whereby we are to worship him in truth and in spirit. His disciples had called him Master likewise, and he said, Ye do well when ye call me Master. In one place, he likewise said unto them, One is your Master, namely Christ. Let me ask you another question. Who is your Master? Is Jesus your Master? Have you an earthly master under whom you work, under whom you serve? What sort of a master is he? Most masters, they are proud. They are lifted up with the position that they have. They are cruel. They are indifferent towards their servants. They care not too much about those that labor for them. Is Jesus such a master? Is he a harsh? Is he a cruel? Is he a tyrant? Oh, no, my hearers. Such a master is not Jesus. What sort of a master is he? Why, I find in one place of the Bible that he got down on his knees and he took a basin of water and he began to wash his disciples' feet. The humility of this glorious Jesus shines throughout all his earthly pilgrimage. Oh, this precious Jesus, who is Lord over all, he came down in the form of a servant, and he came to suffer and to die. He bowed underneath all, he who was above all. Oh, he is a master that each and every one of us should serve. He is a kind, he is a merciful, and he is a wonderful master. All my hearers, I'm afraid that very few of you have him as your master. Who is your master? Satan is your master. The sin, world, flesh, they have the mastery over you. Oh, this master, he must come in and deliver you from these powers that prevail over you, shall he become your master. And now they began to cry, Have mercy upon us. They didn't cry, Lord, heal us, Lord, cure us, but they said, Have mercy upon us. What is mercy? Mercy is that which every one of us have an amount of. If we see someone in afflicted circumstances, if we see someone in misery, our heart goes out to help such a person. If possibly, we would give them all that we possibly could. But now, what is mercy in God? The mercy in God is his sympathizing, his pitying compassion towards the wretched and towards the miserable. And my hearers, were not these 10 men in a miserable and in a wretched condition? We have, in the course of our Bible lessons, discussed with you this dreadful disease, leprosy, which I will not enter into at the present time. At that time, that disease was an incurable disease. There was no one that could cure it. And these men, they were hopelessly banned out of the society of mankind, expecting nothing else but to die in that deplorable state. And now these men heard of Jesus, and they cried, "Have mercy upon us." Is not that mercy? Did they not need mercy? Oh, my hearers, these 10 lepers, they typify every one of us. We come into this world with a dreadful disease. We are born in sin, conceived in iniquity. Sin is our very element. Sin has the mastery over us. Our very insides is nothing else but sin and iniquity. And my hearers, that we go on therein and have no trouble or no concern about it. But when God discovers to us by his Holy Spirit what we have become in Adam and what we are every day, then we begin to learn to know this dreadful malady, sin. Oh, my hearers, if you have been given to see and to feel that you are a sinner in the sight of God and you have to do with him, I am sure you immediately have made resolutions that you're not going to sin anymore. You have begun to try to heal this disease which you find in you. You break off many outward sins and you attempt to live a good and a moral and a consistent life. You attempt in your own power and in your own strength to overcome sin. And my hearers, there are many that succeed for a long time attempting to cure this malady, who do not find out so soon that it is incurable. It is only God that discovers this to his dear children. They are brought to the point where they are attempting to overcome sin. They find they are fighting a losing battle, that sin overcomes them. Has it ever overcome you, my hearers? Have you ever attempted to war against sin, to fight against sin? You have found it to be too strong. There's no human being on earth that can overcome this malady, this dreadful disease, sin. And when it takes place in your life, that it overcomes you while you are attempting to war against it, it becomes a hopeless matter. It becomes a matter for you that you say in yourself, well, there's no use anymore. You become a desperate creature, not knowing what to do. You are brought to despair because you can't overcome sin. And now you are a fit person. When you are in that position to be helped, to receive, like these men received, they received word that Jesus was coming through the village, that he was able to cure them. And all my hearers, whenever you are given to hear in your sinful condition that there is one that is able to cure you, that is able to heal you, then you begin like these lepers. They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Is that your cry? Is that your prayer? Or do you need the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet your case? It is mercy that also reached the case of these 10 lepers. But when they cried to the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw them. Oh, that look of Jesus, that look of pity, of mercy, and of compassion that he had toward these poor creatures that you and I never had. And when he looked at them, my hearers, he was moved. Oh, yes, he had come there for that purpose. He had put the cry in their mouth. And he had come for that purpose to reveal that he was able to cure these men. And now if I have someone listening to me, so that's burdened with his sin, that's crying, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, he sees you. He looks upon you, believe me, with a love of pity and of compassion. He does. And there's a time coming, just like these lepers, they were cured, they were healed. There's a time coming for you that you likewise will be healed and that you will be delivered from all your sins. He spake unto these 10 lepers, and he said unto them, Go, show thyself to the priest. No word of promise, no word of encouragement, just a command. Go, show thyself to the priest. And these lepers, they immediately arose and obeyed this command that the Lord Jesus gave them. And when they went towards the priest, we find that they were all cleansed. Every one of them, the whole 10 of them. The virtue went out of Jesus to cure them, to heal them. He had not spoken any words or anything to them. All my hearers, we have a wonderful Jesus to deal with. Oh, there's a day coming for you, poor soul, when virtue is going to go out from him towards you, and you are going to find yourself cleansed, healed, perfectly whole from the sinful malady that you are troubled with. All these men, they were all made whole. Whether they all were made whole at the same time, and whether they all seen it at the same time is a question. But one of them, he seen that he was made whole. Or he looked at himself. He seen that that dreadful malady, leprosy, had departed from him. This leprosy is an awful thing to look at, my hearers. The flesh just rots off a person. What an awful and a fearful sight of such a creature. And this man looked at himself. Probably his flesh had been falling off his body. And immediately he that he was made whole, that he was cured. And what did this man do? Why, this man, his heart was broken. It was humbled. Oh, what a wonder that was to that man that he was made well again. Oh, he didn't continue on with the rest of these men, the 9, no. Oh, he had it in his heart that it was him to whom he had cried, who had healed him. Oh, he returned back, it says, one of them. He returned back and with a loud voice cried out, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face before Jesus and kneeled down before him. Oh, my heavens. This man, he was an exception. Why didn't the rest of them turn around and go back? Why just this one man? See here the sovereignty of God in dealing with sinners. One man was humble, was broken, was contrite, was filled with wonder and amazement. That blessed Jesus had cured him, such a creature, such a sinner, such a one that did not deserve to be cured and to be healed. No. But oh, he was so filled with gratitude and humility towards him that he turned around and went back. And he fell down before him, glorifying him with a loud voice, it says. Oh, my hearers, I can hear that man. I can hear his voice. Oh, I think that he fell down before him and before the multitude of people that were round about Jesus. And he said, Oh, people, this is Jesus. This is the man that cured me. Look at me. I was a leper and he made me whole. Oh, he's such a wonderful Savior. He glorified him with a loud voice. And the more that he glorified him, the lower that he sank.
all my hearers.
What a wonderful blessing this man received.
Physically, he was made whole, but spiritually, he was brought to the feet of Christ.
In humility, in gratitude, in adoration towards him who had given him this perfect cure.
All my hearers, let me bring this home to you. It may be that in the course of your lifetime, you, your husband, your wife, your children, they have been afflicted with a dreadful disease. A disease which probably caused that particular person that had it to go to the hospital to be operated on. And oh, I am sure, if it has been one of you out of our midst, then you have done like these lepers. Or you have said, Lord Jesus, oh, do heal me, do make me well again. Or if it was your wife or your children, you were constantly praying that he would hear you and would answer you, and that he would make that person well. And now it pleased God in his infinite mercy to hear you. It pleased him to restore whoever it was in your family. They were made well. They were made whole. And my hearers, you likewise were brought, just like this man, this Samaritan. You were brought in a state of gratitude because the God of heaven and earth had heard your prayer, had answered you, had helped you in your trouble, had been so good and so kind to you, such a sinner like you. And you came to his feet in adoration, and you made vows, you made resolutions, you made promises that you were going to live for this God, that you were going to love this God, that you were going to pray constantly to this God, that you were going to read your Bible regularly, that you were going to come to the house of God regularly. All I know, when these things take place in our life and we're humbled, no matter how hard you may be, if you were like a stone before, oh, if God does good to you or to your children, then you have a heart filled with gratitude towards this God. Then you would wish that that person or yourself would worship this God, would love this God, would fear this God. You ever have anything like that in your life? You ever make promises, resolutions? Were you ever humbled like that? And now what became of it, my hearers? What became of your promises, of your resolutions, and of all what you said you were going to do because God was so good to you? Oh, I hear one say, oh, I wish I had that frame of soul that I had then every day of my life. It's all gone now. It's all gone, just like if the wind blew it away. There's nothing left of it. And I think I am the most ungrateful wretch that lives here upon earth. Oh, I forgot God. I forgot his goodness, his mercy, shelter me to my children or to my wife at that time. Isn't it true? Shows you, my hearers, what we are, what our promises are, what our resolutions are. They're all just like the wind. Very, very seldom do we see, unless God comes in it, that it leaves anything to the spiritual welfare of an immortal soul. This man was a Samaritan. This man who was a Gentile, in other words. And he came back. Why, he was brought back, my hearers, or he never would have come back. He would have went with the rest of them. He would have went, and probably what did they do? Why, they looked at themselves too. They were wonderfully elated at what had happened to them. It was a miracle. But they went to the priest. They wanted to see what the priest would say about what had taken place with them. And when they came to the priest and he examined them and he seen that they were made whole, he told them to go into the temple and to offer the sacrifice that Moses had given unto them for this particular disease. But these nine men did not return like this man did. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he spake and said, where are the nine? Were there not ten cleansed? Just as if he was surprised that the rest of them didn't come back. And then he says that only this stranger, that he came back. And then he spake unto this man that was lying at his feet. Oh, I pictured this man, my hearers. I pictured myself there too. I pictured that man looking up at Jesus with such love, with such affection, with such adoration. Oh, he was so filled with humility and with wonder and amazement that he had been made whole, that the Lord Jesus looks on him and says, arise, go thy way, thy feet hath made thee whole. He was then given to arise from the ground. He was given then to go out and to live his normal life again. And the Lord attributed his cure to his feet. Thy feet hath made thee whole. He was then made well and was enabled again to return to his fellow creatures and live with them as he had done before he had this disease. All my hearers, these nine men, they showed no gratitude to their heavenly benefactors. They are like you and I. Oh, we have so many reasons, my hearers, to be filled with gratitude. Take, for instance, you and I. We've been born in this country. We've been raised up here, brought unto the truth, given to hear the gospel, given to hear of a precious Jesus who is able to save and willing to save the greatest of sinners. And now, my hearers, there are many that are born in China, in Japan, in heathen countries, but they never have been privileged like you and I to hear the word of God, to hear of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we have been blessed abundantly. We have health, we have strength, we have children, we have a home, we have an automobile, we have many blessings naturally. Who has given us these things? Who has placed us in this country? Who has given us to hear the sound of the gospel? No one else but Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth. And he has blessed you abundantly. And my hearers, how are you affected towards him? I think every one of us are guilty of the sin of ingratitude, that we forget him, that we very seldom acknowledge him. We may with the mouth, we may with the mind, but very seldom with the heart. And that is the only place that the Lord looks to the heart, where faith may be in exercise and humility and adoration and praise may flow forth unto him who has given unto us all these natural and material blessings. But now this Samaritan, he was an exception, I said. He was. And there may be some poor soul listening to me who likewise is burdened with sin, burdened with it. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I know how strong sin is, and I know how weak each and every one of us are. By the grace of God, I know something of that. And my hearers, sometimes sin is so strong, so powerful, and we so burdened with it that we feel that we shall be lost forever. And now I would direct you to this heavenly physician, this kind and compassionate Jesus, No matter how long you have sinned, no matter how great your sins may be, no matter how strong they are even at the present time, and no matter how guilty you feel yourself to be, that this precious Jesus is able to heal you, is able to cure you. All this man, Jesus, he receives sinners. He never turns any away that come unto him. Now, there is no case that he cannot heal or cure. Oh, I would exhort you, my hearers, to come to him. Oh, he is so good and so kind towards sinners. He loves sinners so that he came into this world for them. He loved them so that he gave himself on the cross of Calvary for them. Oh, greater love hath no man than this. And then this love that we see revealed when Jesus let himself be crucified for sinners. Oh, I would direct you to this cross, that I would give you the seed of the wonderful love and compassion of Jesus towards sinners. Oh, my hearers, if ever you're given to see something of this love, it just melts you to pieces. And if ever he gives you to believe that it was for you, personally, individually, oh, then that will happen to you like that happened to this Samaritan. Oh, if ever you are cured and made perfectly whole and delivered from all your sins, then you will fall down and with a loud voice you will glorify God. Oh, you will praise him and adore him for the mercy that you have found, that you are filthy, a black, a guilty, a wretched creature who stood so afar off were brought nigh by the blood of Christ and found forgiveness for all your sins in his precious blood. Oh, my hearers, may that day come for each and every soul that is seeking, that is crying, that is longing and desiring for this mercy to reach their hearts. He only is able to save, mighty to save, they're willing to save all those that come unto him. All come to him, my hearers. To whom else can I direct you? All the gospel is still sounding in your ears. Turn not away from it. Give ear unto it. Harden not your hearts, as so many creatures do. But listen to the words of Jesus. Come unto me, says he, invites you to come. Oh, he never turns any away to come. And now if you say, well, I can't come, I'm unable to come, I have something in me that don't want to come, I'm unwilling to come, oh, I take it to him. Say, here I am, Lord. I have such a desperately wicked heart. I have such a terrible nature. I have such thoughts in me which terrify me at times concerning thee. But, Lord, thou hast come for sinners, and such am I. Take me, Lord, take me as I am, and heal me, and make me well, cure me, make me perfectly whole, that I may glorify thee, and love thee, and praise thee, here below, and eternally in heaven above. May God in his infinite mercy grant this to every one of my listeners, is my earnest wish and prayer. That's all for today.